This is London Calling.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Big Smoke Music Weekly. Well, 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 it's episode 5 of season 4, Big Smoke Music Weekly, with me, Luke Scanlon, and David Bowen, once again, both looking fucking knackered.
Morning.
Morning. I think this is the earliest we've recorded, Dave, probably ever.
Yeah.
It's not even that early, which is the worst.
And now I understand why, because we're both half asleep. We've got that look of when, you know, you crawl out of a tent at a festival and then you look and you just see your mate and you just say, like...
It's literally like the cast of Walking Dead at the moment. Dave was like, have you been punched in the arse? Like, no, darling, it's just the rings around my eyes when I wake
up. It looks like you've been down like the poodle dresser to get
I don't know what's going on. I think the spotlight I'm in the spotlight, Dave. The spotlight right above my head is doing me absolutely no favours either. It's just like shining in all the wrong places. But yeah, mate. So anyway, Dave, you've had some coastal preparation for our trip to Cornwall by going.
Yeah, a little tester trip. You know, like these trial events, you know, the government's running our trial one as well.
Dave was the front line of holidaying. by the way, when you were talking to me about it before, I nearly fell off my chair because you used the words kitsch.
Yeah. I went to Whitstable with my girlfriend for her birthday for a nice few days, which is nice. And I booked her a cottage and she loves all that kind of stuff. So and it was very kitsch. So lots of flowers on the walls and things like that. So
did you have many a fresh seafood meal?
Oh God, I ate so much fish. I can't eat it for a week. That's the problem. I'm not going to be able to eat fish until we go Cornwall.
And then have a week amount.
Yeah, I think I tried everything. I think we had like oysters, which I've never had before. But you know, it's like Whitstable oysters. You've got to have them. And I just don't get it. They're like slimy.
I've never had
things that just sort of, you just,
It sounds really weird, right? Because you are meant to have them, as you said, the slimy version. I've only had the barbecued.
Yeah, I think really we had like a deep fried one as well. I was like, I much prefer that.
Yeah, just cover it in butter. It's much nicer. But yeah, mate, I'm looking forward to our trip. And I was going to say, obviously we saw each other two weekends in a month, Dave. What's going on?
Oh my God.
But mate, it was good times. But obviously sat outside where we were and I just keep laughing. I actually messaged your girlfriend Yaz about it because it made me laugh. She was like, hope you had a good weekend. I was like, I'm just laughing because Dave looked at me and went, mate, your lips have gone blue.
Well, yeah, you underestimated a bit, didn't you? Turned it with a nice, like, thin t-shirt and nice jean jacket. And then we're all there, like, huddled up with coats. And you're like, we'll be right. Yep. And then, like, 2 hours later, you're like, yeah, I'm cold now.
No, do you know what? Actually, Dave, I'm blaming Yaz for this. It's one of the first weekends we're allowed inside the pub. I'll better book an outdoor table.
It's because
disgrace.
We had 12 of us and we're not allowed in the pub.
Oh, shit. Yeah, of course. I always forget about these numbers. Yeah. I'll let her off. But, mate, obviously, how ridiculous was it when we started doing song intros and different. This is like towards the end of the night. So I think it's when I was talking to Yaz's friend Casey, I was like, oh, what would your boxing intro song be when you're coming up to the ring? And then everyone did them. And then what were the other scenarios we did? What song would you have when you were robbing a bank?
Robbing a bank. What was it? Something like ones that remind you of your youth as well, something like that. Yeah. But that's when it started really getting downhill, I think.
Was there another one? What would you have if you were murdering someone as well?
I can't remember.
Got a bit dark.
But I remember Yaz saying to me, he goes, I was like, did you have fun? She's like, yeah, it was really nice. Yeah. And then but towards the end, you and all them lot just started playing music from your youth and me and Luke, were sort of stood around going, what is happening here? We're just sat around playing emo and Lost Prophets or stuff like that.
I remember just looking at Yaz. I was like, are you comfortable going out with a bloke that used to straighten his hair? Listening to emo shite.
Yeah. But you had some random... What was your robbing a bank choice? It was really random. It was like...
Oh, mine was House of Bamboo, wasn't it? Or was that my boxing on intro song?
I can't remember.
That was what, number 54. Bam, 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 run with the bamboo. Oh, bam, bam, bam.
I would love that to be your boxing intro, especially the dance you did to it as well. That's really intimidating.
I feel like there's a video somewhere, which is not good.
Yeah.
But Dave, more pressingly, I don't even know if that's a word. I got recognised, mate. I was famous for 5 minutes. Big Smoke have made it, Dave.
We've made it. Our one and only fan out there.
I'll set the scene. Yeah, mate, honestly, I was sat in the pub and this guy kept looking at me. And you're like, he either knows me or he's got a problem with me. There are two options when a guy starts staring at me.
It's like, I'm ready to go down, whatever happens.
Yeah. I'm ready for this shit to kick off. And he went to the toilet as well and he stared through my soul. And I was like, oh God, maybe there is a trouble afoot.
That's lover.
Yeah. And then as we're leaving, he was like, excuse me, mate. Are you Luke? And I was like, yeah. Why? He's like, I love your podcast, Big Smoke Music Weekly. I was like, oh, thank God you said that. I thought I was going to have to end your life.
What did he recognise? Did you recognise your face or your voice?
I think it's the rich timbre of my voice, Dave.
It must be that laugh, that really...
but mate, he was complimentary. And he was like, I just love how you rip into Dave all the time.
What I'm here for, baby.
So, yeah, I have to
I'm
stop
your straight man, that's what I am.
All I got from this conversation is I need to start picking on Dave more.
I'm not. Well, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
I might quit, you know.
Actually, Dave, you bullied me when I saw you at the weekend because you're like, you're not funny. You just laugh at your own jokes.
Case in point, literally.
No, mate, I've always said this. It's your life. You're the number one comedian in your life.
Yeah, I know, exactly. As long as you make yourself laugh, that's all that matters.
I don't give a shit if no one else laughs. I'm having a great time. But anyway, Dave, on today's episode, our Big Smoke In Focus artist is Lizzie Hilsden, also known as Pixie, which I'm very much looking forward to off the back of her fantastic EP, Free to Live in Colour. And Dave, it's always weird when you do the interview and then obviously I listen back and edit it. And this is not that I thought any of our interviews are bad, but it's always way better when you listen back. It's weird when you're in it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's that thing when you're like, what did I just say? I can't remember what I just said.
I know.
And I'm going to step back and that's just going to sound stupid. But...
That's like the weekly surprise you get, Dave, because you don't hear it until it's released.
What ridiculous thing did I say this week that's being recorded?
What you don't know is I just edit everything to make you sound extra stupid.
I'm looking forward to when we have our bloopers reel at the end of the season.
I need to do one. Well, I do sometimes keep the stuff we don't put out. And there's some
of it is not safe for work and radio.
It really is really not safe. Anyway, before all of that bloody racket, let's have a bit of this, Dave.
Luke and Dave's Tune of the Week.
Yes, babes. Dave, honey bun, sugar pie, blossom, petal, lovely boy. Let's do our Tune of the Week.
You're not doing very well being mean to me, are you?
Right, you fucking prick. Let's go. What are you... you go first.
I'll go first, shall I?
You go first. Go on.
All right.
All right.
Right. Number one is Bandicoot with their track Fuzzy. Right, yeah, these are a Swansea-based four-piece. And I love this track. It's really got that kind of like chugging along intro. It's like really 70s and they've been heavily like inspired by glam rock and a bit of Mark Bolan as well.
Do you know what? I was going to say the only thing I've written for this was Mark Bolan.
Yeah, so there you go.
It's great, man. The guitar as well, though. Woo!
Yeah, but I was like reading up on this and like I like the description that someone's kind of written about it and this will hit home to you. It's like, Fuzzy makes you want to don that leather jacket you've never been cool enough to wear and jump on the motorbike you've never had.
I can do both those things. It's just
hair in the wind, hands firmly on the ignition.
Mate, I could do both of those things. It's just the scooter rather than the motorbike.
Yeah.
Mate, I absolutely love that tune, man.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Great selection. Also, is that the
first? That is going to be straight on our road trip playlist.
That is. Mate, I'm looking. We need to make that, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm going to work on that this weekend. That's a lot of time and input.
Hours.
Number two is Holiday Ghosts with Off Grid. This is off their new album, North Street Air. That was out last week.
Is that again?
May 21st. No, don't make me say it again.
But it's nothing there.
Out on Fat Cat Records. They are from Brighton. Actually, no, based in Brighton, but they're from Falmouth. So not far from where we'll be. soon.
There's a bit of a nautical theme running through.
Yeah, I know.
I love this tune. It just sounds like proper garage punk. Like,
well, yeah, I feel it's really got that like almost 80s US college scene sound to it. You know, like Violent Femmes and some stuff like that.
That's interesting you say that, because I heard it and I was like, sounds like pretty like stereotypical Reverb Strokes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of got that scratchy guitars and stripped back drums and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just that nice kind of easy, you know, almost quite infectious song that you're just like, oh yeah, it's nice. I'll leave that on. You know, when you're like skipping through, it's like, oh, I'll leave that on, yeah.
Lovely. Yeah.
And my number one choice. I started on number one. I got two. I don't know.
We'll go three eveners for this. They get bronze for being gold.
Is bizarre name band, but I'll go with it, I'll roll with it. Anorak Patch with their track Blue Jean.
Well, before you say anything about this song, when I saw the name Anorak Patch, I just thought, is that where they grow anoraks?
I tell you, this is a nightmare to Google info, because you put Anorak Patch Blue Jeans, there's just a load of stuff that you stick onto blue jeans that's like patches.
See, we've had this issue countless times. But as you think about this, the stuff that comes up sometimes.
Yeah, Christ.
Ridiculous.
But these are from Colchester. Might be the first band from Colchester, probably. Who are, these lot are insanely young. I mean, I think the drummer's apparently 14.
14?
Yeah, 14.
You know what? When I hear that, I'm like, oh, fair play, because it's a great song, but at the same time,
It half makes me like, wow, that's amazing, and half makes me slightly depressed that I'm like, Christ, what was I doing at 14?
Pouring in your mum's straighteners is what's happening at that age.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, mate, great.
But yeah, they're like super talented, and this track is like, I was like listening to it and I was just sort of not really, I was just like, it just kept changing. Like, it starts off this like really quite, I don't know, rolling intro, like drums. I love the drums on the intro, and then it just suddenly picks up tempo, bit kind of punky, and then just slows down again, and it's like, whoa, I don't know what's going on.
But there's about a good almost like minute of just like what is essentially a jam sesh, and we, by God, we love a jam sesh.
I do love a jam sesh,
and it's just I like my notes, because anyone else would be like, what the hell is that? I've just written direct delivery and then naughty little breakdown.
Exactly, yeah. Nice little breakdown.
It is a great little breakdown.
But yeah, it's got that, yeah, like almost kind of experimental, like they're trying out different things. Like, but yeah, they're super exciting. I'm just like to see what's coming up for them next. You know, they're only gonna grow, aren't they? So
yeah, exactly, man.
There you go.
Totally. Right. Well, that wraps up Dave's, and here bloody comes my choices. In at three, we have Mila and Rain. Okay, that is Mila and Rain. And Dave, we were just talking then. It just reminds me of Hadouken. That's why I straight up plug in and play. Let's have it.
Yeah, no hold bars.
Exactly, bars. Man. No bars hold on. Yeah, mate, he's got a proper Andy Warhol style barnet, this guy, as well.
It's really?
But like blonde mutt.
Blonde bob kind of.
Yeah. And interestingly, we have Pixie coming up, who is herself a bedroom artist. He's also a bedroom artist. And yeah, he's also the bassist for Rat Boy as well in his spare time.
Ah, yeah. I can see how those two go together.
I think it's just a bit of a, you can kind of tell, because tunes like that, when you find out stuff, you're like, I can see that. He in his spare time, he makes clothes and is an artist as well. So he's a busy man. He's just a creative powerhouse. I think it is actually Andy Warhol, you know.
Reincarnated.
He's just back as Mila.
I can't believe that's just one person, though.
That's great, isn't it?
How does this make all of that? It's just crazy.
It is. It just sounds like an electric ball, is how I would describe that. Just a wall of force, do you know what I mean? Just, whoa!
Yeah, just like, I'm gonna add that, put a bit of that in it. Yeah, fuck it.
Exactly. Well, you'll find out later in our chat with
Pitch. It's like when someone makes a curry and they're just going to put all the spices in. It's like, shall I? Yeah, fuck it, why not? And then you eat it and you're like, whoa.
What's in this, Dave? Mainly ketchup, really.
Basically, I got every spice in my spice rack and just chucked it in, see what happens.
Oh, amazing. Anyway, before we become a cookery program, let's have number two. This is Juno Dream and Let Me Breathe Again. Dave, this band, right, I heard this tune and I was like, cool, bit of grunge going on here. Mm-mm. But then I looked and they call themselves Space Rock.
Ooh, like that. But then what does that entail then?
I don't know. And what I wrote down here was, if Kurt Cobain's ghost had fun with an alien goddess, this would be the love child.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's weird though, because when you think Space Rock, they do actually, they've got that like whirring kind of...
Yeah, you've got to have like alien sounds. And
yeah,
it's more of a ghost, I think.
They do have that in there, and it does like, it's weird. It kind of harks back a little bit to like, you know, like Telstar, like the early synth stuff that was like a massive tune.
Yeah,
I think it's the Tornadoes that released Telstar, and that was like the first use of a synth, and it kind of goes back to that kind of warbly that space.
Yeah.
Age stuff, which I'm a bloody big fan of, mate. And my number one is this naughty little one. This is Night Beats and Revolution. By the way, where the hell have Night Beats been all my life? Because that's off their forthcoming album, out June 4th. Outlaw R&B is the name of the album. Their fifth album, which I had no idea.
Fifth
album.
Crikey.
I know. Crikey, Moses. I hadn't heard this before. I hadn't heard them before. And to find out they're about to have their fifth album, I was like, shit, well, maybe I should explore them a bit more.
Yeah, where have they been?
I don't know. But, mate, they call their style, this is great, psychedelic R&B. Fucking great. It's definitely a bit of a, going back to your tune from Bandicoot, bit of glam rock coming in there.
Definitely got that Mark Bolan sound as well, actually.
It's great, isn't it? It's weird, because you know like how people say, oh, fashion is so cyclical. I think it's the same with music, isn't it? I reckon every, I don't know how many amount of years, but it's like a bit of that glam's coming back in like 50 years later.
Yeah, I think we're running out of new genres. So you have to make up ones like space rock and psychedelic R&B, but then a lot of them are just like using old genres and sort of maybe putting a new twist. I think if we are generally, I remember having this conversation before. I was like, what's going to be like songs that our kids are listening to? And we can listen to and be like, what the hell is this? Like, is it just going to be like, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep? And I'm like, what's going on? I don't understand. Weird future.
The best part of you making those noises was the head bop.
The dance.
Going on with it.
That's how you dance to it.
Yeah, that's it. Just,
it's just the kids, you know. They're just so different.
Bloody kids. But, mate, to be fair, though, there are some stuff that is out at the moment, and I'm like, excuse me, what is this?
I look at the charts. I mean, God, I sound so old. I look at the charts, I'm like, I don't know any of these people.
I couldn't name a single song on the charts right now.
No.
God, Dua Lipa. Would you say?
He in the charts? Must be.
You can sound older if you. Who's this Dua Lipa then?
Dua Lipa?
Does that mean there's two of her?
She got leper. So.
Duo leper. Christ. Right. Anyway, before that descends into any more chaos, I think it's about time we get into our bloody Big Smoke in Focus artist. Here comes our chat with the brilliant Pixie.
Big Smoke in Focus.
Thanks ever so much for dropping by. I've got to admit, Lizzie, right? Because I never use Facebook, but I do use it because it's usually quite good for looking up, like, what artists have coming up, like events wise and everything. And yeah. I searched Pixie, obviously, and it came up, and I clicked on, you know, as the different tabs for like people, page, blah, blah, blah. I accidentally clicked on people, and it came up with this woman who had a picture with devil horns on it.
You probably won't be able to see.
Oh, you can. And behind her, it just says psychopath.
Is that your second profile, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my secret profile.
And I was like, fuck me, is this an omen for what this chat's going to be like? Oh, absolute disgrace. But yes, anyway, thanks for joining us. The first thing I wanted, because we always start these interviews and we're like, oh, let's talk about like your releases and stuff. But I actually want to talk about your dancing, because your dancing is superb.
Oh, thank you.
And Do you like think about how you want to dance? Because like, if I'm gonna dance, I have to think about it, and then it's just very awkward.
You know what? It's really weird because like, I was never like a natural dancer. I'm really dyspraxic, so I basically have like no spatial awareness whatsoever. Honestly, like it's really terrible. Ask anybody, you know, with me, I'm always smashing stuff and knocking stuff over. But like, genuinely, I actually it sounds so sad, but like over the pandemic, I knew I had a music video coming up. I was like, oh, what should I do for it? So I genuinely rehearsed like how I moved in front of the mirror for about like 2 months. And like, I'm not even kidding. It's like literally in the bedroom, and like you would be sat downstairs, and like the walls would be vibrating. They'd be like, oh, Lizzie's at it again, like jumping around the room.
Working out.
Honestly,
her own
like
dance
I asked you, this sounds really like lonely, but well, it was. But genuinely, like that's how I sort of came up with a few dance moves. But I just love dancing. I just think it's one of like the best. I hate exercise of any type. Like I just don't exercise. I will not catch me exercising, but I love dancing, and I think like that's where that sort of originated.
Fair play. Well, it kind of, I've in a, like, because this is obviously me interpreting your music, but I like, hey, without sounding like a complete wanker, I think I heard you quite early on there. And
that is the most Luke's saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually, there was one time I got Dave really well, and I was like, Dave, have you heard of the Beatles? And he just went, you fucking kidding. but when I heard you, because you've got that like kind of that like all of your songs have kind of got that drum beat in it. There's a bit of a dance element to your tunes. So where does that, is that something that you've always kind of, that dance sound that you've always been attracted to?
Oh yeah. Like I was such a big fan of The Prodigy when I was younger, and I loved those. I just could never, when I first started into music, I could just not figure out how they made those like chopped up, you know, like huge mega breakbeat dance sort of samples. And I mean, for the longest time, I didn't even know what a sample was. So like when I actually discovered how they were making those beats, I was like, I have to do something like that. And so I sort of made it my mission to just sample like as many break beats as I possibly could. And then when I started like getting really into it, I started to learn how to play them. So it was really nice sort of evolution from here, that those like huge Prodigy style sort of chopped up beats, and then you know it just went from there. So I love that sound, like it's one of my favorite sounds, and you kind of want to just naturally dance to those huge sort of like, you know, almost like drum, it's almost like drum bass, something like it. Yeah. I just love that sound so much. Sure.
I was gonna say, I think in particular on like Electric Dream, by the way, that is a fucking tune. And I think in particular on that song, I think that's where that comes through. And I think you're right with that Prodigy stuff, like a lot of their stuff was remixed.
Yeah.
I think a lot of your tunes are just begging. There's got to be someone that will just take all of your tunes and remix and make some filthy tune out of it.
You know what? I'm waiting. I had a couple of people remix some stuff. I just find it such like a compliment when people remix your tunes too. It's like, oh, you like that enough to like do something else with it. But like, I would love someone to do like a massive fucking like dance mix of all my tunes and like chop exactly. them up like I do.
The best thing about that, if someone remixes your songs, you don't have to perform it. You can be off your nut and dance to it.
Yeah, that's so true.
Imagine that, though. You're out in a club and then you just hear something like, oh, wait, this is me.
Absolutely love it. Like, oh, Dave, as I said, Lizzie, we used to record it in a studio and it was far easier to communicate. So, Dave, your turn.
Yeah. We talk about your different influences, like Prodigy, and then I've also seen De La Soul's a big one. Like, how do you feel it's like bringing all these influences together? Do you think that kind of comes naturally to you? Because I feel if I had like all these ideas of different things in my head, I'd just turn out something absolutely awful, but comes together so well. Do you know how do you find that?
Do you know what, like, initially it was just a complete fluke. Like, the only reason I was looping stuff and sampling stuff was because I just couldn't play. Like, I literally did not have the skill to play. Like, when I wrote Young, that was literally just, I didn't even have a bass. I just looped a low E note, like dun, 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 and then put a bass filter on it, literally to make it sound bassy, and then just looped it over and over again. So like, from that, I kind of got into like, oh wait, this is an actual like genre of music. And then I started listening. It was after that I started listening to you know, bands like De La Soul, sort of Beck. Like, it just opened up this whole world to me that I just was not aware of. You know, I kind of fell into it completely by accident due to complete lack of being able to play an instrument, but it kind of worked out well for me because I love that sound now. It's like my favorite sound in the world.
Definitely
cool. I was gonna say as well, because we I think two episodes ago now we spoke to 10 Tons, and it's quite interesting to hear him speak, because he kind of started off like with a lot of people around him, I think, and it was kind of not necessarily where he wanted to be. And now with his new stuff, he's kind of doing things off his own back, and you've kind of started off from that right from the beginning. And I always look up this term, right? It always comes up, and it's one of these like weird mystical little creature terms, bedroom artist. It's weird how that comes up. Do people always ask you about this?
Do you know what's really interesting is that when I was doing my sort of like bedroom pop, it was initially supposed to be like my USP, like my complete, it was like kind of unique. And now I guess with the way, well, artists are working because of coronavirus, it's like everybody's a bedroom artist now. So, you know, but that's great. I love it. It gives you so much freedom, especially if you're like completely socially awkward like me. It gives you that kind of like safe space to feel creative in without, you know, feeling intimidated by a studio space. So I that's why I love it so much. But like, I guess bedroom pop, it's a funny old word, because as soon as you like do something notable as a bedroom artist, you're immediately thrown into a studio. So it's like, but you know, I still love being able to keep that kind of like creative control from my, well, it's not a bedroom anymore, it's a flat, but you know what I mean? Like, it's boss. Yeah.
Flat pop. Doesn't quite have a ring to it.
That just sounds like a can of Coke that you've left on the side.
Flat pop.
Oh, dear. I was going to say as well, because you like, obviously, like, you do the whole process producing, blah, blah, blah. How, because it is like, going back to the sound, it is like a massive, slick sound. And it is kind of weird to think it doesn't come from a high-tech fucking gizmo gadget studio. So like, was that going back to your influences, that slick sound that you wanted to go for?
Do you know what, I mean a lot of my influences were artists who had been in studio, so I think it was kind of a goal for me when I was listening to like Bjork's I'm such a huge fan of Bjork. Like, my, you know, I grew up around that sound, like really clean 90s sort of, like, it's kind of like pop, I guess. It's quite alternative, but you know, I love that sound, and I really wanted to recreate something like that in my bedroom. So, you know, and it was, I'm not trained in like in any sort of production or engineering, so it was complete fluke. Like, I actually cannot believe how well those first tracks came out. Like, sometimes I find myself trying to go back to that, but because I didn't learn in a sort of like conventional way, it gave me like a whole like complete freedom to kind of, it was guesswork, a lot of it, like in terms of EQing. I would hate to go back and look at that project. I can imagine it's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But like, it gave me a completely sort of different approach to writing and the way I sort of like, you know, put my music together, because I didn't have that sort of normal way of coming into it. So I think it was an advantage though, because it gave it a sound that not many people had kind of like were familiar with. They're like, what on earth is that production? Because it was off the wall. Like, you should see, I'll put on drum filters on my vocals and bass filters on like hi-hats and stuff was just not normal.
Mate, you know what? Yeah. I always laugh with stuff like this, Dave, because I always try and imagine what we would be like in that situation. And fuck me. Me and you trying to create a song just sat in your flat would be...
I know, I was thinking the same thing. And I was like, it's just a flute that comes like naturally. And I'm just like, I'm just so far from that.
Exactly. It'd be horrendous. We'll be there like, Dave, I think if we have one more beer, we might get an idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just revert back to getting a keyboard like you're doing like year six, just pressing like DJ, DJ. Just like, why is this not coming out good?
Oh, dear, amazing.
Do you find that as a bit of a, or will it be an adjustment to going from your setup you have been to maybe an actual studio with producers and sort of, do you think that's going to be an adjustment? Or?
Well, I already have sort of started delving into that world naturally. I think like it's always good to let, this is one thing I always say is like, as much as I love doing stuff in my room and I can write a lot, like, and I can do so much like off my own back, which I always wanted, I never want to have to like fully rely on, you know, other people. I think sometimes it can be quite restricting, but or restrictive. But now I, from having those sort of like skills, I can go into studio and say like, oh yeah, I don't really like the way that's EQ'd, or like, you know, it's nice to be able as well to learn from other producers. I don't feel like it's a, you know, a bad thing. I really actually think it's been a great sort of, it's really opened my sort of mind to how that whole world works as well. And I think it's also great because it takes my tracks to another level that I can't do, because I'm, you know, I've only got so many things here. So I really actually enjoy going into studio now. I think it's quite fun. But having said that, I would never give up my space here. I like to sort of go between the two. Like, I have this little sort of way that I work where if I go into studio with a producer, we'll have a day, maybe we'll like do bits and bobs, and then I'll be like, right, can you send me every single stem so I can go home and chop the shit out of it, and then I'm gonna come back tomorrow and then we can do something with it. And it works really well. Like, that's like, I absolutely love working that way, and it's a nice balance between the two. But you know, I've learned so much from producers as well, like from going into studio. So I think, you know, for any sort of female or even male bedroom artists who are a bit scared to make that leap, but honestly, it's really not that scary.
It's probably giving you the confidence to go to these people and so you know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I would feel really overwhelmed, I think, as a new artist going into a studio, having no clue how any of it works. Like, and it's taken a few years for me to really sort of get my head around the basics of everything. You know, it's a complicated thing, production and mixing and engineering, but I really respect people in it. But, you know, I also love the fact that that's part of the way I write. So I really enjoy, like, going in and having a say in that and those kind of things, because, you know, that's how I started. So I love having that.
I bet really producers nice love it when you just say, yeah, I just fluked it. And it's
get out.
They're like, yeah, I've been working like for this for 10 years. And you're like, yeah, I just fluked it. It's easy, isn't it?
You know what, though? My projects are an absolute nightmare. I always go in, like, loads of producers have a really sort of organized way of working, and then I'll send them over my stems, and they're like, fuck now, Lizzie, like, this is an absolute nightmare. Like, how do you work like this?
Amazing.
But then, you know, it's
really... I was going to say as well, you know Sam Tucker, right? Of Close Up Promo.
I do, yeah.
I didn't go to school with him. I went to college with Sam. And we have the Close Up 60 Seconds on the podcast. And I told him I was speaking to you, and he's like, mate, you do know she's, like, done stuff with Liverpool. There's a picture of her in a Liverpool shirt. I was like...
You're not a Liverpool fan.
Not a fan. But I was going to say, your tune Merseyline is kind of like, tell us about that story, because it kind of strikes me that you're quite, like, proud of where you come from. You're not from Liverpool, are you?
Well, this is the thing. I wasn't born here. I was born in a place called Ormskirk, which is in Lancashire. Ormskirk. Yeah, that's why I was. They actually knocked the hospital down where I was born, and my dad always says it's because I was, like, evil. They had to, like. Well, anyway,
I've seen your Facebook profile, psychopath.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, and I have devil horns. But anyways, I my childhood grew up in a place called Parbold, which is really, like, tiny, sleepy town in the middle of absolutely nowhere. But
yeah,
I was at the school in Liverpool, like, as a kid. All throughout my childhood. So, you know, sleepy village town, or, like, Liverpool, the city. Like, it was an easy option for me where to identify where it came from.
Yeah,
especially because, you know, like, we were always in the city. I would always be around Liverpool, especially, like, on the docks and all stuff like that. So it was always a place that really felt like home, I guess. But then when I went to uni, I moved here permanently. Sweet. And, I guess, like, I mean... I just wanted to write a little ode to the city because it is my favourite city in the world. You take me anywhere, I will always be, like, thinking of Liverpool, wanting to come back and, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. I thought it was kind of like your own, like, little love letter in a way to Liverpool.
Yeah.
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 I like it. Fair play.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
All right, Dave. I think it's time now for our Big Smoke Big Ten.
Big Smoke Big Ten.
Okay, number one, Lizzie, what artist did your parents listen to that had the biggest impact on you growing up?
So I'm not going to talk about my dad because he has a terrible music taste, but my mom has a great music taste and she listened to a lot of Bjork, and that really, like, I was just obsessed, as well as Kate Bush as well. They were two huge female artists I was really influenced by.
What you've now got to tell me what your dad listens to.
Yeah.
Well, no, if you're a metalhead, it's fine. Like, my dad, like, would literally just, I mean, he still does, like, we go on holiday and it's like a lovely beautiful sunny day and he's like blasting out like Rammstein or something, whatever you call it, and it's just not chill.
Yeah, you're there, like, you know, where, what I mean? Where's the beach, like, even a bit of Ibiza chill music. Yeah. You know what I mean, on a beach.
Yeah.
Metal is definitely like the Marmite of music. Either it you love is. It or you absolutely hate it. There's no in between, is there?
I cannot stand it, mate. I don't get it.
Right. What is the favourite gig you've ever played?
One of my favourite gigs I played, it was actually Highest Point Festival. It was like my first festival stage that I'd done in Lancaster. And it was really funny because before we went on stage, there was like two people there. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is so, like, you know, when you're just like playing to like one person in the crowd.
Yeah.
But then we went backstage and we were like getting ready to come on. And it was, you know, me and at the time I had an old girl band. So it was really, you know, we were buzzing anyway just to be there. And we went out and like the whole stage had just filled out and it was full. And like, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, what? Happened, like, it was crazy, and we just played like this full crowd, and you know, it was one of those like where the expectations just went like through the roof, and it was just like one of the best gigs because we actually thought we were just gonna play like two people. Not that it would have been a problem, but then it just filled out and we were like,
it was a surprise, made it even better.
So, yeah, it was grand,
amazing. Really, Joe, I always feel, because it's weird one with festivals, because it's like there's so many different factors about like your crowd size, like timing, who you're clashing with, stuff like that, even like the weather like stops people going out, do you know what I mean? I have been to see some bands, I think fucking hell, the crowd should be a lot bigger for this.
Yeah,
it does make your heart sink a little bit, doesn't it?
I know. Yeah. And the band, you can see the band's like, oh, but yeah. I don't know.
I've definitely seen life. A band where there's like hardly any people there, and then there's like half the band were like, yeah, let's keep going, like we're playing to full count, and then there's the other half, they're like, fuck this.
Okay, number three is, what was the moment you realised you made it? It says as a band, but we'll say artist.
It's made me chuckle because I was thinking, like, I really don't know if I've like made it, you know, but like,
I like this one. It makes people like go on edge a little bit, Dave.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've made it. I don't know.
Or they question, like, what is made it? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
What is music?
Oh, yeah, I was literally the other day, it was weird. I was sat having a coffee, like, just on, you know, on Bold Street, which is just a street in Liverpool where like all the shops are. And two people came up in like an hour and were like, are you Pixie? I love your EP. And I was like, that's crazy, like, that's mad. So it's just really nice when people like actually recognize you, you've never met, like, I don't, you know, on some random road in Egbert, they were like, you're Pixie.
yeah bloody am. I was gonna say that as well, you hit a million streams, didn't you, the other day for the EP?
Yeah, it's insane.
So that's mad.
I love how I like forgot to say that actually. Maybe that's more of a
mindset. I had that in my head for you. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, you're like waiting for it. I'm like, someone recognizes me.
Yeah,
if they're like literally employ me,
employ me as your hype man, like, or something. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that must have been insane to see. How do you like check that, or does someone check that for you? Like, how did you actually find that out?
Well, like, I knew because my management were like, oh, have you noticed your UEP is like knocking on a million? And I was like, is it? And then every hour I was checking, and I was like, and then it went. And I was like, do you know when like something's like, you've been wanting something for so long, and then when it happens, it doesn't, you don't actually feel anything, and you just look at it and you're like, nice.
Yeah. Fair play. I suppose it's kind of like, I think I've had it before when you like, you know, when you really look forward to a trip and then you arrive there and you're like, all right.
Yeah, you just kind of like take it in, you're like, Sam, this is great. And then like that's kind of where it just peaks, and then you're like, right, what to do? You know what I mean?
And like, you're just like, I just want to go on the street and be recognized again. That's all I want.
Yeah, yeah, just like waiting outside.
Where's that woman? Anyone?
Yeah, where's that guy? But yeah, no, I was like absolutely buzzing about a million. To be fair, like that was insane. I mean,
yeah, thanks. That's the answer I was looking for. Cheers. Yeah. We got there. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Which person has left you most starstruck?
That's a great question. I've not like met, I mean, I've met like a lot of like Liverpool local legends, you know, but the person I was most starstruck by was when I was in London. I was shooting for my EP cover actually. For my EP cover. And I met Rina Sawayama, and she came over to me and she was like, you know, she's like one of the biggest things in pop at the moment. But she didn't talk to me. She knew my manager. So she was like, hi. And like, I was just there, like, honestly, like, so embarrassing. And I really wanted to say hello, but like, it was like one of those awkward like exchanges where like, I'm just sat there, like,
yeah,
like I've forgotten how to speak. And she was just so
yeah
put together and cool. And like, I'm obsessed with her. I love her so much. And then she's like, see you later. And I was like,
it's definitely weird how some people have an aura, don't they, as well, when you meet, when they're like just in the room, you can feel them.
And they just got like this kind of proper put togetherness, and like that I just don't have. Like, I just like, how can you be so put together? It's the same. I met Matt Maltese and I was like absolutely starstruck by him, and I literally couldn't. I was like, oh, I'm really loving this, it's great, can you send me a record, please? And he's like, yeah, sure. It was just like so put together. I love him, he's so good. But yeah, I was like, I just feel like I just constantly make a tit out for myself. So
to be fair though, the reality is absolutely no one has their shit together. That's what you've got to remember. It's like when you're a kid, you think all adults have their life sorted.
Definitely not. Exactly. Like, the older I get, the less sort of put together I think.
Exactly. Dave, I've lost track of this. I'm next, aren't I? Number five, name the three artists you'd pick to be in your supergroup.
Oh,
you could be dead or alive, by the way.
Can it be like a band, or does it have to be a singular artist?
I mean, we've had people choose about six for one, so... If you want, name 20.
People have gone all singers, and then people have taken it like bass, guitar, it's like, drum.
Yeah. Of Backstreet
Some people
Boys
gone for like a cappella group.
Yeah, I would say probably like De La Soul would have to be one of them. I love De La Soul, like, so fucking good.
Yeah.
George Harrison, he would have to be in there somewhere. I'm obsessed with George Harrison.
What a boy.
Not 80s George Harrison, though.
Oh, yeah, he did have some tunes, though. He did have some tunes.
Yeah, and some terrible artwork. Yeah. And then who else? Oh, yeah, and it would have to be probably, like, Beck, too, or Bjork, or someone like that. Like, just fucking imagine that super group. It would be so sample-heavy, but it would be great.
Nice. And what would your role be? Would you be singing still?
Do you know what? I'd probably just... chill out and hit the sample pad for everybody, just program the samples. Let Bjork take the box. I don't know, Beck can do whatever the fuck he does, and George could be on the guitar or bass or whatever.
He's got to be on the sitar. Get George on the sitar.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. Yeah.
For sure.
What's the weirdest encounter you've had with a fan?
You know, it's an online encounter, if that counts.
Yep, they all count.
I had a really crazy story, and it's real. I actually have the receipts for it. And this guy, sorry, I mean, he, yeah, like I have the proof, but you'll see what I mean. So this guy messaged me and he's like, "Hi Pixie, I've just had a baby. And I'm naming my baby Pixie after you." And I kind of saw it and I thought, so I just ignored it.
Yeah.
And then I had another message through and he was like, "Hi Pixie, here's the birth certificate." And no kidding, it was a real birth certificate and her name is Pixie, spelt the same way after me, which is just blows my mind. I was like so taken aback. I was like, I was very honored. Like I was speechless, to be honest. I was like, wow, like really like my music.
Yeah, that's meant, do you know what, I've spoken to bands before where they're like, yeah, it really like trips me out when someone gets a tattoo with us, like you've got an actual human.
There's a human out there with my name. My stage name,
yeah, like branded insane. With a name
forever. She can't, but she can change it maybe later, but there you go. I was just like, what, that's crazy.
Where are they a UK family or are they
no Nigeria. She's Nigerian.
Really?
But she was beautiful, she's so cute. Seen a picture of her and she's like baby Pixie. I was like, oh, that's so amazing. Lovely. But quite unexpected. I would say that's why it's a bit like weird. Like that's very great, honored though. Yeah. Baby Pixie, if you're watching this in the future, shout out to you.
The Pixie crew in Nigeria. Yeah. What, okay, right, sweet. Number 7, the best tour snack.
Do you know what's mad is I have never been on tour. I've not been on tour yet because I've only played because I only really got signed over lockdown, and before that I was unsigned and just doing local gigs. So I'm sure I'll have a tour coming up soon, but I will tell you my favorite snack in general that I eat constantly and everybody takes the mick out of me for it, because I just live off peanuts. Like I literally just live off peanuts. Like I don't eat anything else. Like
what, just salted peanuts or
literally, oh, I don't know if I can, oh, it's over there. But like
I like that you're pretending that your feet aren't covered in empty peanut packets.
Yeah, just rustling.
So just straight salted peanuts. Just
straight salted peanuts. Like I'm absolutely obsessed. Like KP is definitely the best one. I've tried every peanut from every different kind of like place. You know, I've tried Tesco's own, Co-op. KP is the best. And I literally buy like a pack of them every maybe like 2 days. I get through like a family pack. I just eat so many.
Pretty impressive. Okay. Have you had the Nobby's nuts, the chili ones with the coating on them, the shell?
I have, actually. They are very nice. I love the coated ones as well, but I just don't know what it is about just like plain salted peanuts. Like I just can't get enough of it. I just cannot. Like everyone knows, like that I always have a bag of peanuts in my bag wherever I go. I love them.
They're addictive. When you're like out, I always find that you have nuts and you're like, oh, I'll have one, and the next thing you're like, keep grabbing.
Yeah,
for
that's it. Yeah. Do you have to order like a pint and peanuts if you go to the pub?
Well, I'm like a wine drinker, a huge wine drinker. I drink so much wine. And like, I think my body sustains itself off of wine and peanuts.
Wine and peanuts.
I was going to say, yeah, yeah. If we did a pie chart.
It's a diet of champions, that is.
It is, yeah.
A pie chart of your diet, it would just be a straight line, wine and peanuts.
Yeah, literally.
It's amazing. There you go. Well, that would be the easiest rider ever for your tour to sort out. Just fucking massive bowl of peanuts.
Yeah, it's the Pixie Tour, sponsored by KP Nuts. That's it.
My dream, KP, if you're listening, please send me a lifetime supply of peanuts.
We've got to sort that out. We'll put I'll put a little video together and I'll tag them. And if they don't send one, we'll go around there.
Please do.
Oh, dear. Right, Dave, now I know the time, it's yours.
What's the one lyric or riff you wish you had written?
Do you know, I wouldn't say it's, I don't know if it's a lyric or a riff, but I think like if a sample counts, this is my dream sample. And yeah. I think it's definitely the Stones orchestral sample from Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve.
Yeah.
I just, you cannot beat that. Like, it's, I wouldn't say it's a riff, but like that sample is one of the best uses of a sample I've ever heard in my life. Just, and I fucking love it.
Such an uplifting tune that as well, isn't it? It's just like,
literally, as they fade in, and like, I always say this to people, but like, whenever I'm in London, I always put my headphones on and I play that and I walk down the street and I pretend like I'm in that video.
Just barging into people.
Yeah, I fucking love it. It's my favorite stamp ever. So.
You know what, if you keep doing that in London, you're gonna get mugged, but then they'll get really disappointed because they're like, this fucking psychopath's walking around with a kilo of peanuts, man.
Well, that's what everyone's like in London. That's what everyone is like. So that's the thing to do, is put that out and pretend you're in a video and then you just become a Londoner. Just
that's what I think. I feel like everyone's doing that on like the same street. Like, aren't we all just doing that?
Like, yeah. Just look like you're pissed off all the time and then you're basically a Londoner. So yeah. That's the way to go. Okay. Number nine is the most... Oh, by the way, I have to keep saying this because we've had... Everyone just interprets this how they want this question. It doesn't even have to be this at all. The most rock and roll purchase you've ever made.
I actually have a boss answer to this question. So I'm like obsessed with cars. I love cars, especially like classic cars or 90s.
The automobile, not the Disney film, right?
The Babel. But yeah.
Like, McQueen is just my guy. He's just the fucking hero of mine.
He's like a weirdly like attractive Disney character. Anyway, enough of that.
You didn't think you'd be telling us that this evening, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't. I think that's the wine and the peanuts coming out.
It is.
But
it
is. I bought a car recently. It wasn't that expensive. It's a convertible little sort of sporty Charlie XCX looking kind of car, and it's definitely the most rock and roll purchase I've ever made. Like, I just bounce around town in it with the roof down, and it's just my pride and joy. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. Like, I really wanted like an old classic car, like,
yeah,
you know, but they're too much upkeep and I'm too lazy. Yeah. So I got the next best thing.
This sounds a very boring thing to say, but bloody hell, the road tax on those babies. That is shit, isn't it? But what car is it? What car did you buy?
I have a Toyota MR2 Mark III, and it's like this little sporty silver thing, and it's got like the bug headlights, and I'm just absolutely obsessed with it. Totally impractical. Can't put anything in it. Like, it's not for any practical purpose.
Just for you.
It's literally just for me to like look like. Literally, I was driving home before, and some guy like had the roof down, and he pulled up at the lights and was like, roof fell off, did it? Did your roof come off? And I was like, nice one.
Yeah,
he's like, I hope it rains.
Right, number 10. What's the one artist that you have on repeat now?
The one artist at the moment that I cannot literally get enough of is Noisy. They are, on to them.
Mm.
They're so fucking good. Like, I'm absolutely obsessed. Like, I literally, talking about cars, I blast their new EP full blast, like go around town like blasting 24/7. And what's the other one, Put a Record On? I think they're just like the one of the best bands. Like, they also do kind of like the Sampy styled sort of setup, and it's just such a bit of me, and I just love them. I think they're fucking sick.
Amazing.
So cool.
Rock and roll. Love that. Well, Pixie, thanks very much for joining us. We're going to give you a spin now. If you want to introduce one of your tunes, we'll do that for you.
Yeah, sure. Can I pick anyone?
Anyone.
All right. thanks for listening to the podcast. You're listening to Just Move.
You went full 70s radio host then. That was amazing. Hi, it's... Can you do it again in the whole thing in that voice? Hi, it's Pixie.
Hi, it's Pixie. You've been listening to Big Smoke Podcast. Next coming up is Just Move. Sorry, I can't do it.
On 98.7 FM. Yeah.
And if you think I'm editing that out, you're wrong. That's staying in. That is staying in.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Bloody lovely stuff. That was Pixie with
Just Move.
What a tune. Dave, there was many things for us to discuss off the back of that, but we realised all of them began with P.
Well, yeah, it starts with Pixie and it unravels into Peanuts, Prodigy, and what's the one you said?
The other one, Pino.
Pino.
Oh, and Pino Grigio.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's begin with Prodigy, man, because as I said, Wanker, I've known about you for years, but I always thought she had that kind of like big, like rolling, it's almost like drum machine sound in a way. And yeah. So it's quite interesting to hear her talk about Prodigy, man, as an influence.
Yeah.
That's probably not what I would have picked out. I don't know what I was anticipating for her to say, but.
Yeah. And like, it's just a big mix, and you know, and it's interesting that her like thought was just like, I want to make something like that. How do I do that? And it's like her ability to do it is just like amazing. Like
I know.
We said, like I'm just so basic of anything like that. Like, I just have no clue. But
I know. Do you know what? I love talking to people, like, because I always like consider myself a fairly creative person. But then when I speak to people like Pixie, I'm like, oh, I'm really not. And like I was like, when she was talking, I was like, she's actually like one of those people that. Because she doesn't know, she's so good, she can't like explain it in like a normal way. Do you know what I mean? Because it's such a natural thing to her.
Exactly. Think,
it's like, I don't know, bad comparison because it's footballers. Bobby Charlton, World Footballer of the Year, but he was a rubbish coach. It's like, I don't think she'd be able to explain.
That is a really weird comparison.
I know, yeah. I'm sorry, Pixie, for comparing you to a 1960s footballer, but I don't think she, do you know what I mean? It'd be hard for her to write down in a set thing how she...
Some people can just do it, but then, like, yeah, if she was then to, like, teach people or produce for other people, it'd be, she, like you said, yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know, it might, it's just, she knows how she wants to do it, and she can do it naturally.
It's amazing. Yeah. I think, and I the main thing I love about her sound is like every song, it's like there's not a wasted second, if that makes any sense. It's like they are like packed out songs.
All
like,
killer, no filler.
Exactly, Dave. You don't get short chains with Pixie, and I think that's why I love all of her tunes, man. But on to the next P, Peanuts. What the fuck?
Oh. I mean, I love a good, you know, nut every now and again, a nice cashew nut, but to just survive on it, God.
I know. I'm a bit concerned, actually. Like, we need to, I don't know, maybe introduce some other nuts into the diet of Pixie.
You ever tried Brazil nuts?
Brazil nuts are good. To be fair, walnuts are pretty handy.
Cashews are the kings, that's it.
Oh, yeah, a honey roasted cashew nut.
Oh,
pretty darn good. But yeah, and yeah, the other one was Pixie again. Mate, imagine actually being told someone in Africa had named their child after you.
I mean, Pixie's a nice name. So, like, I can see that. It's if you're, like, if we were talking to 10 tons and you said that.
Yeah, or like...
I've made my child 10 tons. I'm hoping he turns out to be really obese when he's older.
Mate, can you come to the pub tonight? I would, mate, but TV piece is playing up. You're right, there's some really bad
names. But that is mad that he did it because of that and like reaching out from that distance. And it must be like amazing for her to, you know, it's a way to realize she has fans everywhere that are willing to name their child after her. It's crazy.
Because that's the why I had a feeling it was like, part of me was like, surely that's like, I don't know, someone in fucking Skegness. But like, I was like, maybe it is on the other side of the world. So it's really interesting that she's got that reach, man. But yeah, surely the worst of those names would be like, oh, this is little baby pussy riots. There are some real shockers you could have with that.
Yeah, definitely. Me. Definitely.
But yeah, man, another ruddy good Big Smoke in focus chat. And yeah, I reckon big things to come from Pixie, particularly if she finally gets out on tour, which I shall definitely be there.
Definitely.
But before I end this section, Dave, I've got to give a shout out to the OG, the original bedroom artist, Daniel Bedingfield. Got to get through this.
Got to get through this. Boom.
Bam, 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 bam. Do you remember that was a big thing when that came out? Imre recorded it in his bedroom.
I know.
Mental.
And then his sister came along and just completely blew him out of the water.
Yeah, I know, bitch. Okay, anyway, on to the next feature. Time for Close Up 60 Seconds. Close Up 60 Seconds. Time now for my chat with the brilliant Valeras. Guys, thanks for swinging by for a chat. So, obviously, Rita, your latest single came out earlier on this month. First question is a killer question. Who is Rita?
Rita is the band and anybody who can relate to the story. I think Rita was a lot of people during, like, the lockdown and stuff. Like, that's when it was written.
Mm.
So, you know, I think everybody was going through, like, rough stuff, you know, lost jobs, lost a bunch of stuff, and it just became a little bit hard for everybody and us. You know, we didn't have any live gigs, we went through some changes and all that stuff. So we mainly wrote it, like, I think in my head, I don't know, it kind of just came lyrics, but I think in mind was kind of like our story. But also what we were surrounded by, like, you know, everybody going through the same thing.
Sure, yeah. Were you a four-piece before?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So where, did that change come in that year then that you were talking
exactly.
about? Change. Cool, sweet. So how does that must feel quite surreal to half in size as a band. How did that kind of dynamic come about?
Well, I mean, me and Max have always been like 100%, you know, really wanted to do this, to be in a band and like get to hopefully make a living out of it. And,
yeah, sure.
So yeah, like we've always had that bond, like us two. But yeah, like it actually was funny because we never had written a song together up until we became a duo, like us two. You know, and I think, you know, Max, I don't know like what your experience was like writing proper for the first time, but it, to me, it was amazing to see him, like, you know, come to me with these incredible song ideas, and I was like, whoa. It was amazing. And
Max
just
is actually all right, you know.
Yeah,
is that what it was? Yeah. Gee, he's actually better than
yeah,
I thought he was.
I'll keep him around.
I'll keep him around.
Amazing. How did you find it then, Max? Because it obviously it changes different for everyone, but is that a similar way you saw things as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like, like basically what Rose said, like, I'd never really written a song with Rose or really properly anyway, so it was all new to me, but like super exciting at the same time. Also working with our producer Tarek Musa, like, because the way he works, I don't know, it was just I found it very like exciting and yeah, just very new, and yeah it's great.
Amazing. Do you feel like, because it's the, do you think you have more ownership over it because it's like it's more personal because it's the two of you?
Probably want. Yeah, there's probably a sense of me now that feels more personal to the band that I didn't know I could get. So it's, yeah, it's really nice.
Also, Max, I didn't realise your surname was Seeley. Do people ever come up to you like, wait, what? Matt Healy?
I got it a tiny bit like late on in school when he became like a big star.
Yeah. Well, sod that. Max Seeley's way better, man. I'm not even a fan of Matt Healy, but there you go. So, the other thing we should talk about is you're going to be playing a Close Up Festival in September. So I always say this. People come on, I'm like, it's really surreal to be talking about dates that are in the diary. But yeah, how are you feeling about stuff coming up? Have you got anything else in the diary other than that?
Yeah, we've got a few gigs, and we're hoping to actually, you know, they're not going to get postponed or cancelled. But we're pretty confident that they will happen. And honestly, we're just so excited. Like every time we, like, I don't know, get like a reminder, like we get like a video pop up of like us playing live, and we're like, damn, is that really us? We were cool.
I know, like, well, Dave, who I record the podcast with, he's my co-host, we're like, we really need a gig, because every episode we're recording, we're like, do you remember that time, like, 3 years ago, we went to a gig. It was great. Yeah. So we need it. I think everyone needs it, right? Even like people in, like, as we are in media, writers, everyone needs it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, everyone needs it. Yeah. It's even like friends of mine, when they get like the memories on Instagram, like, oh, 1 year ago you were at this festival. It's like a bit like a cheese, man. It's really depressing.
That was the worst thing. Yeah, you're right.
It was.
Proper lockdown last year. I was like, oh man, I was in like Isle of Wight at the moment. All right. Well, with that, let's go and do the close up 60 seconds. So, as I said, I'll start the timer and stop it when you stop answering questions. So, if you're ready, it's all very official. On an iPhone timer.
I'm nervous.
Everyone gets nervous. I don't know why.
Timer, bro. You can't put musicians on a timer.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I'm an artist. You can't pressure me. Yeah. So last episode we had Fours on, and Fours, it was Edith, the lead singer. She's the only person in 4 episodes that has actually beaten the timer. So don't worry about it.
So now I really want to win.
Max is competitive. Okay.
A little bit with this kind of stuff where it doesn't. I want to win.
Done. Right.
I'm just Rose, we're winning this.
I reckon if you both, because you're a duo, you're gonna have to just fill the answers and shout over each other. I reckon. I'm not even gonna let there be any order to this.
Fight over it. We'll both be competitive against each other as well.
Oh, there you go. I feel like I'm going to break up the band by doing one stupid little feature.
What are you doing?
Yeah, it's not even musical differences. Right, okay, we'll get into it then. The first question is your guilty pleasure song and why?
Oh, man. Oh, I feel like guilty pleasure with music. I feel like you should just like music. But I'm going to say one time, last week, I bought Phil Collins and I got Slater. Phil Collins, I'm going to say.
Bosh.
Apparently it's not good to like Phil Collins when you're born in 98.
No judgment. Max, what's yours?
Instinct is like Kylie Minogue Spinning Around.
Gosh, I did pause it between you. I gave you a bit of breathing space. Okay. But just a warning, you've done 16 seconds so far. That's some serious damage on one question. Put it back here. Right, okay. Number two, why should people add you to their playlist and become diehard fans?
Because we will be your new best friends.
Okay, this is the crucial one. Number three, the best meal deal combo. Go.
Well, the falafel wrap from Tesco. Yeah, Rose, come on. Yeah. With Reese's Pieces and a water.
Rose, yours, go.
I don't need meal deals, but if I had to, it would be something like... oh my god, like a prawn sandwich, I don't know, and like sensational sweet chili crisps and a Coke.
Perfect. amazing. That was a complete panic. I could see your brain scanning the fridges.
I literally was.
Yeah, literally. I could see Rose in the shop.
I was going to say egg and cress, but that's a bit...
Walkers, don't like quavers. Walkers.
Oh, yeah. Don't like quavers.
Amazing. Right, okay. You're actually right. You've got 14 seconds for 2 questions, so I reckon you actually be okay. Okay, so the first one is, what would you do if you weren't in a band? Go.
Can we still do music?
What did you want to do when you were younger, Rose? What was that thing you said?
I want to be a songwriter. I'll say songwriter. If not, then I'll be a tennis player.
Okay, I paused it for Max. We've got 5 seconds for Max to answer and you to answer question 5.
Oh my god, okay, Max, you better answer
that. Yeah, okay, I'm ready.
Right, Max, what would you want to do, if you weren't in the band? Go.
I'll play tennis with Rose, done.
Just constantly a double. You'd be on the same team, right?
We come as a package.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we've played tennis before together and we're both really rubbish, but it's fun.
How long have we got left?
I was just about to say, I don't know how this, you're kind of giving me insight into how you operate. I don't know how you've done it, but you've got there. You've got three seconds left. Describe your live show in 5 words.
Energy.
Energetic.
Fun. Funny, because I made mistakes. I don't know.
Warm.
And beer.
Cool. Well, we got to 1:08, so that's not bad. For a double X, that's pretty good.
I'm going to take that.
Absolutely take a bow. We always give our bands, close-up bands, a spin of a tune. I presume you want to play Rita.
Yeah, Yes, please.
Yeah. I was waiting. If you said Phil Collins, I'd be like, Rose, get off the call.
I mean, I was considering it. No,
get out now. Okay, well, guys, thanks for joining us. If you want to introduce Rita, we'll give it a virtual spin.
Thank you so much. We're Valeris, and you're listening to Rita.
Close Up are a London-based national live promoters, booking agent and record label. They showcase the best indie and electronic talent nationwide across live shows and festivals. They've been endorsed by DIY, Dork, Jägermeister and more. Head over to www.closeuppromo.com for the latest events, artists and listings.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
And our final feature of the episode, that was our close-up 60 seconds with the brilliant Valeris. Davidoff, another show has come to a climatic end.
Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust, son. Yeah, I feel like we both need a coffee as well because we are slowly...
I've already had one and that's not worked. Number
your voice,
two.
Your voice is going as well. That's,
just that's emotional.
That's not bastard worked either.
Another one bites the dust.
Do you reckon we could get through an entire episode speaking like that one day?
Shall we? Shall we do a guest host and we'll be one of the Mitchell brothers each?
Yeah. I'll be Phil, you'll be Ross Kemp. That's fine. I've met Ross Kemp, so we've got a rapport, you know. We basically know each other.
I'm odd. I fight gangs.
No, we should just be our normal selves, but speak in their voice.
So I'd be like, bites of dust, then?
I like to paint. Watercolour. So obviously day of recording, week till Corny Well.
Hurrah.
The question is...
The sun's starting to come out. It's happening.
It's disappeared today. It was sunny yesterday.
It's nice here.
All right. The question
good
is...
Weather chat.
Good weather chat. This is where we run out of stuff to say. Question is, what's the theme of our playlist going to be? Are we doing like old school for the drive down?
I got an idea.
Go on.
An hour of 60s, hour of 70s, hour of 80s, hour of 90s, hour of noughties. I'm going to run out.
Yeah, cool. All right. How many, five each from each decade? Well, it's pretty quite a lot, about 15 tracks going to an
depends
hour.
Depends how long. I mean, 60s, 70s could be longer. Six I might put each. A bit of prog in there. Shout out to my dad, Genesis, lover.
Is he going to let us take any of his WD-40 with us?
He was very annoyed. Apparently, he's only got six, not 12 cans. So.
Yeah, all right.
Set the record straight.
All right. We know you've got some under your bed, Tim. Stop playing around with us. Do you know what's ridiculous? I've just written down six songs for each decade on a bit of paper that I know I'm just about to throw into the bin.
Sometimes you just got to note these things down, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, kids. Well, yeah, as we say, we are in Cornwall. In the meantime, catch up with the rest of our episodes. We've had some great interviews with the Snuts, TV Priest, Ten Sons, and of course, Black Honey so far. So yeah, do catch up, and we'll see you on the bloody flip side from Tales of the Cornish Pasty Land.
See you later.
Bye now.